13 that there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's look at that. I want you to see this for yourself. You're there in Matthew 25. Look back over to Matthew 13 now, because this is what Jesus said. I want to make sure that you understand. Hell is a real place. It was designed for Satan and his demons. Hell is a place, a conscious place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48 says, "Where their worm never dies and the fire is not quenched." And the King James is real heavy in that, their worm. And I kept wondering, what does it mean, their worm never dies? So I just did some study on that word. And what it means is, it means not only are they internally tormented, but they're externally tormented. Internal and external torment. Internal and external. That's what it means by their worm never dies. And they're in this eternal flame, this eternal punishment, this eternal condemnation and damnation. But yet, not only are they experiencing that from the external, they're experiencing it from the internal. Their worm never dies. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 13. Let's look at this. Matthew 13. Let's look in verse, let's see. Where do we want to start? I don't know exactly where I want to start here. Let's just start reading in verse 40. Matthew 13, verse 40. It says, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Notice verse 42. Now everybody say, this is Jesus talking.
This is Jesus talking.
"And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." He said, you know, that's talking about the tares and the wheat. And I think so many times in this parable, if we read this parable, Christians get a lot of concern about the tares. He said, leave the tares alone. You live your life. You live your life righteous before God. You live your life speaking the word. You live your life enjoying the goodness of God. You let your light shine. And he said, don't be so concerned about the tares. But we know there are going to be tares. But the goal is, let's get as many tares out of that field as we can. Let's get as many people born again with us as we possibly can. Now, this is a huge question that I think people have. Number one, they have, is hell a real place? Yes, it is. What is hell like? It's conscious torment. Another question that people have, and I think there's a lot of false teaching that goes on about this, is hell eternal? Is hell an eternal place? Well, Look with me, if you would, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And a lot of these people that teach, you know, that hell will be cleaned out, or that God is just too good for people to experience this, I don't know what they do with these scriptures. They evidently just don't want to read these scriptures, because you can't just choose and pick which ones you want. Everybody say, we eat the whole roll. Now, what I have found, if one part of the scripture doesn't balance out with the other part of the scripture, there's usually something that's lacking in understanding. But you have to really work at not understanding some of these scriptures that we're reading here. I mean, you have to really lie and almost stress the truth beyond. And I think sometimes I think people's motives are good in regard to wanting to do away with hell, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the truth of it. I don't care how good a person's motive is in wanting to keep people from going to hell. Jesus is the only way someone's going to keep from going to hell. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now notice here, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I don't know how you cannot get everlasting out of that. That's everlasting. That is everlasting destruction. But notice what the reason why. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven, we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, heaven is a real place. It's an awesome place. People that know Jesus are going to, you know, we had the lady here at Easter that told her testimony about her out-of-body experience of being with the Lord. But let me tell you something. As much as we long for and enjoy heaven and recognize heaven is a real place, we need to recognize that hell is a real place too. Hell is a real reality. And the truth of the matter is, I did a little study on this. It says, see, we are going to heaven, but listen to this now. But 39,420,000 people die every year without Christ. That's one reason we do what we do. That's one reason why, not the only. I mean, I'm not only living my life. I'm living my life to enjoy God and be at His pleasure and have a good life and enjoy my family and wait for that call to go home. I'm living for that. But one other reason that I'm living my life is to try to lower that number, that 39,420,000 a year that don't know the Lord. And that's a Barna Research number. But when you take into consideration, well, I think tomorrow there's supposed to be the 7th billion person, 7 billion with a B, 7th billion person born on the earth, 39,420,000, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that are going to hell without Christ. That's a lot of people that every time we give in an offering or every time we support missionaries or every time we're doing something to let people know about the gospel, that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's not that, please hear me, I want you to understand, I'm not just motivated to try to, there's no way I can keep everybody out of hell, but I can do my part. You can do your part. We don't need to be burdened down with the fact that if someone goes to hell, we carry that weight on our shoulders. We can do our part, though. Amen? Say amen, somebody. Amen. Hell is a real place. Hell is conscious torment. Hell is eternal. Amen? And when we think about that, and I just gave you several scripture witnesses here about it. When we think about that, we need to think about our lives in regard to what are we... devoting our lives. And I think last week I said, you know, you can have anything, any activity, sports, anything in your life that takes a precedence over the kingdom of God. But you know what? You can have that in your life and enjoy the kingdom of God as well. Can you see what I'm saying? But what's the object? It doesn't matter what we do. What we're doing in regard to life, put the kingdom of God first. Let's put His kingdom first. Let's think about, you know, we are going to experience an eternal heaven. We are going to experience light and life and flowers that sing and talk to us. And we're going to be experiencing the tree of life and the river of life. But we're going to experience that because of what Jesus did for us and the fact that we accepted Him and believed on Him. But there are multitudes of people that deny Him daily. Amen? That, to me, I don't know about y'all, but it's a very sobering fact. It's a very sobering thing. It's a very sobering issue when we think about it. And one of the reasons that I wanted to teach about heaven and hell is because there's so, and I just cannot stress this enough as your pastor, guard your heart against erroneous teachings. Yes. Don't just be a baby and put everything in your mouth that comes down the line, you know. Let's grow up here and see, we've got a lot of good living to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A lot of good life left in front of us. But let's don't be so consumed that we fail to forget. We want to bring as many people into the heavenly glory as we possibly can. Say amen, somebody. All right, would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I don't know, you know, everyone that's here, but we always, every Sunday, give. And please understand, you know, hell is mentioned. Listen to this now. You can keep your heads bowed, but listen to this now. Hell is mentioned 54 times in the Bible. Heaven is mentioned 529 times in the Bible. That lets me know that God is not trying to use intimidation and fear. He's trying to use His love to gain and gather people into the kingdom of God. Heaven is mentioned 529 times in the Bible. Hell is mentioned 54 times. That lets you see the contrast in regard to God's heart. God is not trying to condemn and punish and hurt, and that's not His goal. His goal is to cause this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to be real in our lives so that we accept Him and we encourage others to accept Him and live our lives in a way that we want others to receive Him. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've put that choice off. Maybe, you know, like Brother Hagin in this testimony, you had been baptized or part of a church, but really you've never, from a heart level, said, Jesus, I make You the Lord of my life. If that's you this morning and you want to receive Jesus, you really want to from your heart, will you raise your hand, please, if that's you? Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you. If that's you this morning, will you raise your hand, please? Any person in here today?